Highways Agency in a little while on the show. 8 minutes to eight. Urgent action is needed to tackle a catastrophic threat of resistance to antibiotics. That's the warning from England's Chief Medical Officer, Professor Dame Sally Davis, who says that there's a risk that we could return to an era where patients could die of routine infections without effective drugs to treat them.
If we don't take action, we may all be back in an almost 19th century environment where infections kill us as a result of routine operations. We won't be able to do a lot of our cancer treatments or organ transplants.
There is some good news. Cases of the superbug MRSA are said to be down by 80% since 2003 through better hospital hygiene. But there is bad news as well. They've been replaced by other drug-resistant bacterial threats like E. coli. And Klebsiella, a chief medical officer, says the pharmaceutical industry needs more incentives to create new antibiotics.
We haven't, as a society, globally, incentivised making antibiotics. It's quite simple. If they make something to treat high blood pressure or diabetes and it works, we will use it in our patients every day. Whereas antibiotics are only used for a week or two when they're needed, and then they have a limited lifespan because of resistance developing anyway.
It's 25 years since the last entirely new class of antibiotic drugs was introduced. Let's talk to Derek Butler from the campaign group MRSA Action UK, who joins us on the show. Morning, Derek.
Good morning, sir.
Interesting, isn't it? Because there's a mix of conditions here. There's the pharmaceutical companies not producing new antibiotics. There's a little bit of doctors being a bit too prescription happy. There's a little bit of patients maybe asking for antibiotics when it's not appropriate. We're not doing very well, are we, all round with this?
We're not, and I think that's down to the fact that most people alive today have been born in that antibiotic era. And we take for granted if you get an infection, you go to the doctor and he gives you an antibiotic. And I think that kind of situation now has to be looked at and reviewed. A lot of people can cure themselves from infections, and if they're minor, the body will actually fight the infection itself. So I think we need to be very judicious with our use of antibiotics to give the pharmaceutical companies time to develop new classes, as you said.
I don't know whether I'm reading this wrong, Derek, but the undercurrent seems to be as well, with MRSA in particular, if we got the drug companies more focused and they thought they were going to make a few quid out of it, they might be more active in sorting out this problem.
Yes, if there's a profit there, then obviously for the drugs like diabetes and cancer treatments and heart treatments, there's a huge profit to be made. But I think the pharmaceutical companies have a moral responsibility to actually put some of that profit back into developing the drugs that don't make as much profit. And I think governments have a responsibility to support those pharmaceutical companies, if they do that, with some form of incentive, i.e. reducing the number of years that it takes to get an antibiotic onto the market, and also the payback time. So I think governments can play a huge role. It's surprising how we look at global warming and governments around the world are so concerned about it that it could be a threat to human life, yet antibiotics could be the biggest threat there is if we lose that use of them.
The interesting thing, I said in the introduction there, MRSA, though, down 80% since 2003, all because we're washing our hands in a more effective way and better hygiene in hospitals.
Yeah, the figures that they're actually reporting are down at 80%, but they're only the bacteremias. If you look at the surgical site, wound catheter and other types of MRSA infections, they're still the same. MSSA, which is a derivative of methicillin, Staph aureus bacteria, is just as high, if not rising. Clostridium difficile is another one. The main threat at the moment is there are very few drugs for MRSA coming through the pipeline. For E. coli, Klebsiella, and Clostridium difficile, which are gram-negative, there are none. And they are now the bigger threat in hospitals.
So, I mean, presumably, we need to change the system, don't we? If the system isn't promoting pharmaceutical companies to make these antibacterials, then we need to change the system, don't we?
Yes, we do. We need to give the pharmaceutical companies that incentive. And as I said before, if we can allow them to use the profits from other drugs to plough back into the use of making antibiotics, then that's a good move. But we do need to change things, because the Chief Medical Officer is right. If you look at what's coming towards us in the future, the future generations are going to live in a world where simple infections could possibly kill them. And our life expectancies will start to drop from the levels they are at the moment. If you look in 1945, before the actual use of antibiotics in general, most people didn't live beyond the age of 65. Today, it's in the late 70s for men, in the early 80s for women. That's how much antibiotics have improved health in this country.
And yet we're still taking it for granted, Derek. Great to talk to you. Thanks for that. Derek Butler from the campaign group MRSA Action UK, which lobbies the government on fighting superbugs, joining us on The Breakfast Show. Still to come on the programme this morning, we're going to talk to the new Sky Blues manager, Stephen Preston.